confession.
What kind of confession? If it's being smart, like I can start right off the bat.
Okay, let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the privilege of coming to a new quarter. Most of all, we pray that you, by your Spirit, teach us. May your word be effective. May this time we spend enhance the way we talk with you. What a blessing it is to have direct access to you and to communicate with you directly through the Son. And as long as we're in his character, we know it says that you hear us and respond, especially when we ask for ourselves. May this time be an encouragement and a blessing. Then we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. There's a tradition that goes with this class. And that tradition is a professor loses his notes first. No, there they are. I mean, that's pretty more true than you think. And that tradition involves reading the prayer of Cyrus Brown. And you'll notice that the fellow that wrote this poem is, maybe you recognize his name. There was a day when you took English literature and you had this poem. And it was, well, not this poem, but it was done by this writer. He was a newspaper editor, and he did poetry on the side. And the one you may have heard was entitled The House by the Side of the Road. And it was, I mean, it's a real cutesy kind of thing about living life and not being all shook up about it. And so he wrote that one. And so here is, this is a good way to start. All it does is give you a hint that there's a lot more to communication than most people think. And there's always a controversy among some, or has been a controversy among some, concerning the a position that is necessary to pray and be heard by God. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. Seems to me his hand should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hodgkin's well head first, said Cyrus Brown, when with both my heels a sticking up, my head a pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, the best prayer I ever prayed. Prayingest prayer I ever prayed was a standing on my head. And I think it makes a point about position in prayer. And I've been around some of these traditions where it was when we first came to Valley, we had prayer meeting at church, and there were a number from the community, and it was really funny because the men prayed upstairs in one of the Sunday school rooms, and the women in the auditorium. And everybody kneeled. And so it was kind of interesting because it was just the way they did it. Of course, we conformed with any necessary problem. And the funniest part of it was this one fellow, when we would kneel, I'd take my glasses off. And he took his glasses off too. And he thought we were probably a clique better than most. It was so fun. I noticed you take your glasses off. Yeah. On it. It's just that they rub your nose and your head's bent over the wrong way. So, and then this is the summary, and that chart does it. I break communication into these four areas. Yeah, and you know why I alliterate? This gives you simple definitions, key passage, and the Greek word with the English translation. And so one is an appeal. That is, you're appealing to God for some kind of a response. You have asking, you have intercession and supplication. This chart is not what you have. It should be number two or three in the pile there. Or did I? Okay. I feel better. Gabe found his. I was afraid I didn't get them all put in here on it. And so you have asking, intercession, and supplication. They go different directions. So you have asking for yourself, you have intercession for someone else or something else, and you have supplication, which is a help. Then appreciation, an expression of appreciation, is, and I've used it in a general sense, you are thankful, that is for a benefit, you praise God for his character and a benefit, and the most normal thing of it all is worship, and that's just appreciating God for who he is, not for something he's done. Isn't it on? 6 minutes, 19 seconds. Yeah, well, it's the angle. Yeah. Thank you, though. And that, and then agreement with God is a definition of confession. And I'm trying to make it so it's easier to remember. And we'll drill this as we go. And then the anticipation of keeping a commitment, and that's a vow. Comes out of James 5:15. Doesn't occur very often. And we will look at that somewhere along the line here as we go down our list. In fact, it's the fourth from the end. It's at the beginning of the last half of our compilation. So this summary will help you. I've tried to do that, so, you know, this is a great subject just to study when you want to just be in the Word. You know, go through and review. And, you know, there are some things, I mean, this is not some kind of esoteric, is that too big a word, kind of teaching. It's something that's practical. I had an email, which item I didn't answer. About this class, this subject, from a pastor friend. And he had read something that I had written. That's why I know I don't like people to read part of something. And he didn't get the whole picture. And what I had said was, communication is more than just talking to God. And I mean, communication, that is. I mean, we communicate with God. But if we just communicate with him, which is the norm, we often forget the other side of it is he communicates with us. And so that's really very significant when we think in terms of this class. When we think of prayer, quote unquote, you'll notice I don't use the word prayer in any of what I do. I've done it in the past because of the usage, and I think changing it, just calling it communication is far better because prayer is an eighth of the whole. It is not a general term. And we'll look at that when we come to a couple past one passage, well, two passages where you have a list of kinds of communication. I would be tempted to drill a camellia, see if you can remember those passages from past classes on it. On it, but I'm kind sometimes in that. Philippians, yeah. Boy, oh boy, we are doing good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean that's the goal. You know, if the Lord hasn't come, you know, 5 years from now, some of these things I hope are in your minds. Just to say, wow. I mean, everything in this class is a wow. Why would God ever let us do this and be in this circumstance? And so when we hear people talking about prayer, there are things, and that's one reason I like to start with Cyrus Brown, because some people think that it's a kind of a sacred language where you crawl in a corner with God and you talk to him in the sacred language. And that sacred language in the English language is King James. I mean, if you don't know how to say thee and thou, it's not going to get through. You know, I mean, that's really what almost some people think. The these and the thous, and they don't talk to the Lord. They're busy constructing some kind of a thing that is supposed to get his attention, and it's not. And there's a special language. What, you know, I mean, it's really funny. I know a guy that is very, very, very offended because somebody doesn't end within Jesus' name. And it drives him bananas. And I mean, and he's not here, so in this area, none of you know him. And none of you know of him. But he's been a pastor. And it just drives him bananas. And he cannot fathom. We talked about it. And I said, well, there's a problem with it. If you do it in the character of Christ, you know it's going to be heard. You know it's heard from the right hand. If the Father hears, he even had questions about whether it went to other persons of Godhead, which is normal in the group he's been with. But that magic formula. And so that's what I did with him. I saw him playing that little game. And every time I would pop with it, well, you know, the magic formula, this magic formula, this magic formula. I mean, I'd say it. Was this helpful if he said, in the great and wonderful name, is that a better magic formula? You know, that kind of thing. And he still shook up about it. With that person, I think it's funny. And he has been in a circumstance where he's very, very the group of churches he's been with most of his life, he's been very Galatianite. And they have certain things you have to do in order to make things go. As long as it's in the King James Version, everything's fine. He happens to be a King James only guy.
Just say the Lord's Prayer. Stick with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. Because we did talk Lord's Prayer along the line, and I had him in such a corner, he didn't know what he was going to do. I set him up so he had to say one thing about how, what was going on in his belief concerning kingdoms, and then all of a sudden, thy kingdom come, whose kingdom is this? And I think it's identified at the beginning. I mean, our Father. And so we went around and around with that. But, man, I'll tell you, we're messing with this is hocus-pocus stuff with prayer. Prayer is a problem. And so I thought it was interesting. There was a day where there was a gal who wrote a book entitled Conversational Prayer many years ago. Her name was Rosalind Rinker. What it involved, it took this conversational thing a little bit further. You didn't say amen. You go and everybody would pray, and then you just stop. Somebody else would pick up and carry on, and it was just like a conversation in a way. Well, that wasn't this. We just talked to God, that's all. And be in a position so that the Holy Spirit can talk back to us, as it were. And by that means he's going to bring thoughts to us. We've already learned some things from him in some kinds of communication. If you ask if you're going to be heard at all, you're going to know the answer beforehand, because there's been some interplay between you and the Holy Spirit, and so that's very important. Then the question about how is prayer done? And Cyrus Brown illustrates it, the proper position. If you don't bow your head, if you don't close your eyes, there are just a lot of things that people in their religious superstitious awe think are necessary. And to me it's interesting. the proper place to pray. Are you better heard at church? That's what a lot of people believe. Other people believe that you're better heard if you go in a closet. Just make sure you come out before you fill it with too much CO2. You know, carbon dioxide will suffocate you unless it's well ventilated in that. And so the proper place. If it's not church, you have to get two or three people together so that you can be heard. And it's not ready to be heard. That verse says, "For two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be with them." And so, if that was necessary, I have a break. Because I meet with guys every morning or during the day, and so maybe I could be better heard. Now, I spend a lot more time than that. And I know I'm heard. And so, then proper people. I don't know if you know. It's okay to ask me to pray for you. But make sure you have the balance. I know somebody right now that when there's a particular burden in their life, they will ask me to pray. I don't think they know the Lord. But I am asked, I don't know how often, but I'm asked enough to, you know, probably every couple of months. And I can pray about everything. I mean, something that's a problem. And that person has this attitude that if I pray for that circumstance, God's more than likely to hear me. I'm likely to hear me. Because I'm a pastor, you know. And I often wonder, this fellow that we that I have to do with, I say we, my son and I do, and at old Roy, I think sometimes this guy, when I say I pray for him, he's glad that I pray for him. He says, "I don't know who God is, whether it's a he, she, or it." And this is his. And the other day, last time I talked to him, in fact, I said, "Troy, it's a he." I said, "The Bible says it's a he, that God is he. Doesn't use either of the other pronouns. It says he." And I said, "Either take the Bible is God's word and accept that as some authority, or you can go off and, you know, roll your dice." And I mean, it's fun because I don't know why God brought him in my life outside of being a thorn in my flesh some of the time. But anyway, yeah. Okay. The question is, when it's done? Sunday. Well, I already mentioned two or three believers. Prayer is the escape valve for times of crises. Some people will do that, or at any time. That's where we can talk to God anytime. I mean, I'd like to think that most of us, before we say anything to anybody in the morning, have a, you know, I don't know whether it's a good thing to say, "Good morning, God, I'm here. Take care of me today." But, you know, that's kind of, I mean, that awareness of his presence from every waking hour is pretty awesome. And when it says pray without ceasing, you have that privilege during the day. And that doesn't mean that you're taking your attention off your driving and trying to hit every other telephone pole. I mean, it's, you don't shut it off. And that's important. What do you expect? Are you going to force God to get your attention? You're going to storm the gates of heaven. And this is to get something from God. And so you have this idea. You're trying to talk a reluctant God into doing something he doesn't want to do. And you say, "Well, no, I have books that will say almost exactly that. Prayer, asking and receiving. If you don't ask, you won't receive. And that summarizes it all. No fellowship in it. It's sad. And so this idea of changing the plan of God. And I've been talking to Bill Louie about this off and on for a year probably. And one thing that bugs him is we pray for people who are sick. And he says, what if they're being disciplined? And we're asking God to heal them, whereas he's using this to get their attention. And so what do we do if somebody is being disciplined? Is it really, if we know they're being disciplined, is it right to pray for them that they'll be healed? You know, and sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. Just don't say that somebody's being disciplined every time they get sick. I mean, this virus that's been going around, we ran into Gary Woodward today at Bi-Mart. And I've been having a lot of trouble catching up with him and talking to him. He just kind of needs, I think, someone to just be a friend. I mean, I don't think it hurts him at all. I have a little bit of his confidence, but I don't know how much. And ran into him, and we had a good time. I'm going to try my best to get out there Thursday and just go and just spend a little, I'm not, just go out, be a friend, share some things, invite him to a potluck. He hasn't made it yet. But he, with him, I know he always appreciated it when I told him that the church was praying for his dad. Now, I had no idea what he was thinking. And he had no idea how we generally were praying. And most of the time it was, we know that when you're so old and when your body has got a lot of problems, do you pray for healing? Or do you pray that God will accomplish his will in a perfect way and that it will strengthen a saint as they come close to home? And that was pretty much how, I mean, that God would be, I mean, there would be a real manifest relationship between Wayne and the Holy Spirit. So that he could be comforted and encouraged, and that's what we wanted. And so we weren't trying to change the plan of God. I'm glad I didn't, but sometimes I regret I didn't. A friend, a Pat, a husband had cancer. And he, I don't remember what kind it was. It was a nasty one. Might have been pancreatic, but I was trying to think about how long. And so I remember we were bombed with emails. I mean, that sounds bad. We got a lot of emails. Sometimes it was almost every day asking us to be praying for him because that God would heal him. And the emphasis of these were, there were people praying all over the world for him. And if more people would pray, he'd be healed. And one of their kids, and what was it, a husband or wife? I never did know those kids because they were out of the area. Anyway, they were down in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in missions. And, you know, it was one of those places that would be a nice place to be a missionary, you know, out in the tropical isles. And it wasn't Tahiti, but it was almost like it. But anyway, they're praying there, and then this whole mission organization all over the world was praying. And so if just a few more would pray. And that idea of changing the plan of God. You know, thy will be done makes perfect sense. But I'm going to change your will so that it'll be to my will's liking, you see. And so that's what was happening in this kind of, this is common. That's why I'm doing, I'm going through these things. You've heard many of these things before. Every time you get a prayer, when you pray, you get an answer. You've been taught, I mean, you've heard that, I know. It says you always get an answer. It'll be yes, No, or wait a while. Some will say maybe. You always get an answer. You know, if you don't communicate in God's will, in something you're asking and seeking, it doesn't get beyond the wall. He doesn't hear and respond. He just doesn't hear. I mean, no answer is not a no. It's not a yes either. You know, and there are many, many Christians that communicate with God, talk to Him, they go to prayer meeting, they pray every morning, pray at bed every night, do all of this sort of thing, and God hasn't heard them for so long. They were carnal long ago and have never gotten out of their carnality. And I've known Christians, I am sure, for 30 or 40 years that God has never heard them, and they've been to every prayer meeting because they're carnal. And God doesn't listen to these kinds of people. They've got to be in a relationship so they can pray in the character of Christ, that is, in Jesus' name. And if they're not living at the right hand, they're in trouble. And so these are things, and again, I'm reviewing for most of you, and this idea that God hears every prayer is not a situation. Now, there's an element of this that we cover in another class, and that is the priesthood of the believer. As believer priests, some of that communication we give to the Father is very much priestly kind of communication. A priest intercedes. I mean, that's just a priest stands between God and the object that he's remembering. So if you got a piece of meat from the meat market and you're interceding for that meat, you're standing between God and that piece of meat. Now, I know you got yours at Safeway or somewhere, and you didn't have to worry about interceding for it, maybe. Be careful, you might. But in those days, I mean, when you went and bought your steak at the meat market, and they wanted to cut the slab off of that hanging hindquarter and took their knife and wiped it on their apron, and then they knocked off all of the flies in order to get the line straight, and as soon as that meat was cut, all of these flies came and landed on this fresh meat. You know, if you were back there where you are now, you'd do a lot of interceding. In fact, you might supplicate. But that was, I mean, you say, what are you doing this about meat? Well, we'll see when we talk intercession, we intercede for food. They did in those days. They were thankful, yes. But there was intercession at times on it. I mean, I've been really fortunate in many ways. And that is, I don't think I've ever gone out to eat at anybody's home where I had to intercede for the food. I mean, I knew it looked pretty good. I mean, but I do remember some occasions where I think we were spared it. That my mom and dad sometimes would go and people would have them over, and that was when we were a little older. We could babysit if need be, because I honestly think the reason we didn't go was because they wanted to make sure we didn't get sick. And it, because some of the hygiene in some of these places is kind of interesting on it. And you just never know. And some people don't even blink an eye with some of that in that matter. So, but as believer priests, we intercede. We praise. How do I know? Seems like there's a verse somewhere that talks about one of our sacrifices as a believer priest. That's over there in Hezekiah 4 or 5, isn't it? No. Hebrews chapter 13 and 15. Yeah, and you've got three sacrifices here. And so, that's right, it's sitting right here in front of my nose, or your nose. And that's part of it. And it's that verse that gives us the definition of praise. We will get there, and then it ties with the sacrifice of faith. you communicate with God, you know that God is going to accomplish whatever. And often that determines what kind of whether you're going to be thankful or you're going to be praising. And I'm going to be working to change vocabulary if you happen to have some interesting vocabulary. You know, people are so quick to say, praise the Lord. And they do it, real, real often. And I'm talking about those that are in our circles. And it's always interesting. They'll tell me something. You know what I say? You're right. I don't say praise the Lord. I say thank the Lord. And they look at me and they know that I'm doing it on purpose. They know that's the way I'm talking. And very few of them will go ahead and ask me why I said thank instead of praise. Anybody who's been in my classes understand that thanks is for the benefit. Praise involves the character of God in it. And so that's important. It's interesting when you communicate with the Father, casting all your care on Him, for it matters to Him about you. And that's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And so this is an opportunity to do that in a way. I mean, there are issues. And I mean, to me sometimes it's very interesting when somebody will ask me to pray for them, and I would just assume, let me give you this little hint, pastoral hint. That I had to learn early. I mean, I learned early. I found out that pastors are a bunch of liars. And it's in this very area. Will you pray for me? I have this need. And it was funny how often, when they were honest, they'd say they never did. They said they would, but didn't. Somebody's at the door, and they say, I have this need. Will you pray for me? And so you say yes. And I remember, I think it was at a pastor's retreat where somebody got up and accused all the pastors of probably being liars. And boy, some of these guys were indignant. I mean, they were holy, holy Joe. In fact, the thrice holy Joes in their attitude. And they were insulted. And then that speaker said, you have promised people you're going to pray for them. You didn't do it. And that slowed a bunch of them down. So you know what? If you ask me to pray for you, I guarantee, I better not say that, pretty well guarantee. If you ask me to pray for you and I say, yeah, I'm going to pray for you, you just got prayed for. I mean, if you ask, you have a need, and I take it to the, while we're talking, I will take it to the throne and remember it there. And I'm not doing it just so I don't lie. And then I let the Holy Spirit pick it up at the other times, and I can do it other times. And then it's kind of interesting. And how the Holy Spirit touches you in some of these kinds of things. I don't know why, with Karen Christensen, I know enough about Kenya that I know she's in God's hands and that sort of thing. And so I had that privilege of interceding for her. I know what she's doing and that kind of thing. And she did get a note in last day or so. She doesn't have time. And it was just, I'm well protected, don't panic, was her, and the people that she's been dealing with. I mean, she was in clinics where they were working with 150 people at a time. And she said she had a privilege of being able to go on a house call to see one person. And it was just, the pressure was up. And so there were just some interesting little hints as to what's happening with her there. But there's someone that, I often wonder why sometimes God puts somebody on my mind as often. And I probably have been praying for a couple times every day as I think of her. because I shouldn't take Time magazine sometimes on it. That gives me some friendly reminders of things not so good. Now, we also have this issue, and another reason is we sin. If we weren't people who do acts of sin, remember sin is lawlessness, 1 John 3:4, and we sin. That's an act of sin. It's an act that says, it's as though there were no divine restraints. In your face, God, I'm going to sin no matter what. I know that is not something that's part of your agenda. And because of sin, we should be confessing that sin. And how often do we confess sin? Hopefully, we are aware enough and have had enough of a close relationship with the Lord that we are very quick to confess what we have done and take care of it so we can get back in a position where we have a relationship that's pleasing to God and He can work through us. And so we do that. And it's not hard. It's not hard at all. I mean, you do it, and, you know, it's confession is not a license to sin. Confession is there if you sin, and if we confess it, it says He will, what? Forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when that happens, now if you have a thought, and you've decided you're going to sin, what do we do? Do you use 1 John 1:9? Well, you take your thought and you direct it where it needs to be, and if you get it up there at the right hand, it's a great place to hang out. Get your thoughts at the right hand, and just don't, I mean, that keeps you from thinking about it. And so with my kids, and it worked better on one than the other, but with my kids, I told them, to think about something else when these temptations came. And they came in a lot of areas. I mean, different things, you know. When you're out in the world system, just think about something else. Get your head somewhere else. And as time went along, they began to learn to get their head in their position. And to think, you know, this is where I am. This is where God sees me. And all of this malarkey down here, and if it's a world system, I'm dead. If it's a sin nature, I'm dead. If it's Satan or a demon, I'm dead. You can't affect me. How can you do harm to someone who's dead? Especially when you're at the right hand. And where God, I mean, where Christ is. And so that's another reason. Colossians 3:1-3. Do we need to go and read that? Let's do it because it's so important. And Colossians 3 is that key passage. I'm having so much fun messing with Colossians, and I haven't really waded into it the way I intend. I'm trying to find out who all is doing papers so I know what I have to do. If I had about 5 more papers, I would take a vacation. No. I'm going to do that with a forum. Now, all the years we've done forums, I've only missed one. And where was I? On sabbatical. So I haven't missed them. They're awesome to me. Since we've been risen together with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And God there has a definite article. The God, so it's the Father. Frame your mind, set your frame of mind, set your reflective thinking on things above, not on things upon the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid together with Christ in God. That's an awesome verse when you think about it. You know, your life is hidden together with Christ in the God. Kind of hints that yours also, the way you have a position in the Father's because you have a position in Christ. And that's important, and that affects the way we talk to God and our communication with God. And so this this having a frame of mind or a reflective thinking. The other way that our communication affects our relationship to God is if we are driven to understand that we are here to glorify God. And 1 Corinthians 1:31 is a verse that is we're to glorify God, but in our boast is in God. Go ahead and flip that as a switch on, Dale, if you want. It says that according as it is written, he that boasts, let him boast in God, let him glory on it. Yeah, it's over in that aisle on it. I live without them. But then we can go to the other glory passages. Just look at all the glory that's in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 in that area. This thing of glory. I lost a poem, couldn't find it until this week. And it was funny because I was sure I had put it on the computer somewhere and I couldn't find it. And it was kind of interesting. Maybe I ought to run it just for fun. Because the title of the poem is Glorify Thy Name. And it talks, I mean, it's got some interesting concepts in it. And maybe I can, it doesn't take me a minute to run them. And maybe we'll do that so that you can have that. I don't know why I found it. I wouldn't have found it. I ran a syllabus where I had stuck it in that syllabus. And when it came off the printer, I happened to walk in when that page came off and saw it. And I wouldn't have seen it until the end of the quarter. So it was kind of interesting that it seemed like God wanted it for something. Maybe you're the reason. Who knows? So when we understand, our communication is bound up with our understanding of the Godhead. We ask in the character of Christ, and that involves our being at his right hand. And we ask the Father, and the Holy Spirit is often the agent that brings it to pass. Though all three of them are agents in a way. It's interesting we can see that when we look at another part of it. So what we're going to do is stop here, and I will run that, and we'll get into some key passages of Scripture as we move into this. We have eight kinds of communication that works out, so we have 4 hours we don't have to worry about. We can just do one an hour, and no, it doesn't work that way. There's so much neat material here. And for those who haven't been in this, there was a day, and I don't think that God's going to, well, it's not impossible. But I had planned to do 6 volumes on the doctrine of communication with God. And 6 volumes, 200 pages, have been 1,200 pages. And it would have covered Old Testament communication and the contrast to New Testament communication. And so we're giving you cream. In fact, the cream is thick. And with this, I mean, it is really, really, there's a lot more. But if you learn what we go through in this class, you find out that you have, you will value this privilege more than you ever have. I don't think you can go through this often enough because you see the value of this privilege of talking to God and knowing how it works. Now you say, well, I used to pray all the time. I messed up here. I didn't know anything between supplication and confession. I had no idea what the difference is. Well, isn't it nice that grace is grace? But you know, when you know the differences, it doesn't make you any better Christian. It just gives you an awareness of what God's going to do. And you get arm in arm a little better. Now, sometimes I think we have finger holds on God when we, you know, we're just hanging on, and he's got a hold of that finger, and we think we're hanging on for dear life. And really, we cooperate in the same communication. We're in a team effort. We share together in this. We're participating in the way God is working and how we relate to Him. That's why worship is so neat, as we understand it. So, okay, Father, may You continue to bless us in this evening. We're grateful for the privilege that we have of studying Your Word, and may Your Spirit continue to work in our behalf. Thank You for the new quarter. We're thankful again for the quarter past, and we'll thank You as You accomplish those things which will bring You the most glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, and I didn't get an answer to you. Yes, I ought to write a note to myself. Oh, you're right.
Next week, okay. Next week's spring break, and then...